Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, hello, everybody. It is not Steve. It's Becky Brown, and I'm so glad you joined us today. And we are going to take your calls for the next couple hours, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be able to help you with all kinds of things, whether you're struggling with anxiety or a relationship issue. We are here to help you. And by we, I mean Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylan Yurkovich. Hi, you guys.
Hey,
Becky. Hi, Becky.
Hey, Jill.
Hi, Mylan.
Great to be with you.
Yes.
Well, it's a big day, or was a big day yesterday at New Life, because we launched our very first New Life Coaching Network, and we're so excited to offer this to so many people. You know, coaching is a new field, relatively new, and yet it's helped so many people kind of move forward in their life. And, you know, I don't know if you, either of you guys have worked with a coach or I mean, whether it was a basketball team coach, I guess, it was the same
There's all kinds of coaches.
There really are. But have you guys had any experience working with a coach?
Not necessarily firsthand, but I do know in the whole realm of ADHD, ADD coaches really are helpful for people.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
partner with people to help them sort through things and mm-hmm. stay on track.
And I think from a practical viewpoint, they can be someone that has a lot of good resource mm-hmm. to help someone in basic areas of life as well. Goal planning,
right.
trying to establish routines, mm-hmm. Et cetera. And then also help people decide or determine what directions they should take.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A lot of people are kind of stuck in those places and they need yeah. help.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, one of the ways that we have used life coaches here at New Life is in our Lose It for Life group, we have health coaches that are helping the folks that are participating in that. You know, a health coach can really help you kind of get some parameters about what you need to be looking at and what works best for you. And I think it's just a point of direction. And, you know, going back to the basketball coach kind of idea, you think about when somebody is on a team or somebody's working towards a goal, you have to have some ideas, some goal sets in front of you so that you can measure them and meet them. And I think, you know, that's what coaching is all about. And we know that there are a lot of people in areas where maybe they've done counseling and they just want to move forward. So it might be something like you mentioned, Jill, with ADD, but I'm mm-hmm. thinking even about like a career coach.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you feel yep. like you're kind of stalled in your career and you got to have some inspiration and direction and some clarity. That's a great place for a coach to come in to play. There are relationship coaches as well. That's a little bit different from what we do as counselors, but it can help folks if they are, whether maybe they're trying to meet somebody. You know, we've talked about that on the program before, you know, that maybe you just are needing help with trying to find somebody and mm-hmm. you need a little coaching.
Mm-hmm.
What are you laughing about, Joel? I'm thinking about that.
Maybe
movie.
I need a coach. I don't know.
and Becky,
well,
you know,
we're Becky, not going there, Becky.
Becky, coaching,
okay.
coaching didn't help me on the basketball court. I have a vertical leap of 9 inches and hands like bricks. So I,
oh,
you know,
but
all the coaching.
Tall.
I know.
You should
see,
be a star.
I should be, but I'm not. I'm slow. I'm slow as molasses and. You know, so
well,
sometimes
it's just a stereotype, right?
But they can be very helpful to the right people. Absolutely.
That's right. That's right. Well, and I know that each of us have some limitations and we need some encouragement along the way. And I know that coaching is very helpful. And if you want to get a coach, you can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and we'll get you connected. But we want to hear from you today. Maybe you've got an area where you're stuck and we can help you. 1-800-229-3000. We'll be back right after the break.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I am so glad you joined us, and we would love for you to call us, 1-800-229-3000. We're here for a couple hours, and by we, I'm talking to Dr. Jill Hubbard and Milan Yurkovich. And, you know, we were just talking about coaching, and I wanted to just clarify, you know, some of the things that coaches do. We talked about goal setting, but also they can help with perspective and self-improvement, short-term goals, making progress.
Problem
solving.
But there's
no diagnosis and there's no treatment. And good coaches, and the ones that we have in the network are all those folks that are good and qualified. They know when they need to turn it over to a counselor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's where some really good work can be done. I think people will go to a counselor sometimes in a crisis, but then don't move forward from there. And so maybe coaching would be a next step as well.
Or sometimes an adjunct to therapy. Mm-hmm. You're in therapy and the coach has a specific, you know, thing that they're working on the person with in addition to the therapy.
Very true. And even though, Milan, you aren't good at basketball, I know that you are good in martial arts and you have a person who's not identified as a coach, but definitely gives instruction. And, you know, I think it makes all the difference in the world to have people come alongside.
It does. One of the greatest dangers in our society right now is isolation.
And especially now.
Yeah.
Everybody's kind of gotten lulled into it.
They have. And so to have somebody in your life that's an encouragement and promoting and encouraging is very important.
Right. And that can check it. Yeah, that checks in with you, right? Mm-hmm. Keeps tabs.
I mean, it just as important to have other people in your life. You can't do life alone.
Right. So a coach is not a substitute for friends.
No.
We need to have mutual relationships where there's give and take and we're involved in people's lives and we allow them to care about us as well as us investing in who they are.
Mm-hmm. I like the mutuality piece, the point you were making. Yes, Becky.
Well, I just heard a quote about coaching that coaching clarifies. And not that counseling doesn't. Counseling can also provide that clarification. But as far as goal setting and moving forward, I think that clarity is so important. And, you know, you only know what you know. And I think a coach can also help you kind of discover those things that are beyond your knowledge and can help you move forward in your life. So I hope that if you're listening today and you need some help, you'll give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE for a coach and maybe get started on your direction forward. But and along those same lines, you know, we talk about our workshops all the time that can make such a difference in the lives of so many people. This weekend, we have Every Man's Battle that's going to be in Columbus, Ohio. What a great state that is.
Yeah. Well, it's one of my new favorites, Becky.
Oh, good. I'm glad you agree.
Since my son is there.
Oh, it's so great. Well, you know, we want to encourage you, if you are struggling as a man with sexual integrity, this could be a weekend that could really change your life. And so, you know, right now we still have an opportunity to get you there. If you're within driving distance, which the biggest majority of the population of the United States is on this side of the coast, not saying anything against California, but, you know, come on over. But you can drive there.
Certainly, Becky, if you're in Ohio, everything from Columbus is like 2 to 3 hours away.
Right,
easy drive.
Right. It's such a great thing. Mm-hmm. Well, enough about us.
Becky,
go ahead, Milan.
Let me just say one thing. You spoke about sexual integrity, but let me expand that just a touch. Mm-hmm. If you're a male and you have an out-of-control thought process around sex and sexuality, and it's something you can't get out of your mind, and you are feeding that, and it is consuming you, then you need to go to Every Man's Battle, because nothing should consume me. The Bible says if I'm mastered by anything, I'm really enslaved by it. And so we're talking about enslavement here. And I'm saying that because I wanted to slow down and just highlight what sexual integrity means. Thanks for giving me that opportunity to share that.
Yeah, no, I think that's really an important point, Mylan, right?
Well, some
men, it's to lesser or greater degrees, right, that enslavement.
Sure.
And so wherever you are on that path, if you're heading that direction, every man's battle is a great option to intervene.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you know what I think? Sometimes we, you know, when we're talking about every man's battle, we know that it's a great place to learn how to live free and to live a life of sexual integrity as a man. And what's going to happen there is the big mystery. And I think sometimes people are hesitant to register because they don't know what that's all about. And basically, we have main teaching sessions by men who are qualified. They are qualified counselors, but they also have a redemption story of their own. Mm-hmm. It is a no shame zone. We have these breakout groups that are led by counselors. And I tell you, it is the most powerful experience for so many to be in a place where we accept you and we give you a process and a plan to go home and live in that freedom that you're talking about, Mylan. And so we hope that you'll call us
this
weekend.
Yeah, another way to look at it is disordered intimacy. We all struggle with difficulties with intimacy. And so if you are really feeling lacking, right, there's more of a tendency to go for the artificial, the substitute.
That's right.
Right?
I agree. So. All right. Well, let's go to the calls. We're going to talk to Michelle, who's listening at KWRD and is calling us from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Michelle. Glad you're here. How can we help you today? Hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me on your show, and I'll just kind of jump right into it. I know your time is pretty valuable. I'm really struggling. I guess my question is it okay to marry after divorce? I'm really struggling with divorce, remarriage, dating. I was married. My spouse committed suicide. I later married someone approximately 7 years ago. We've been divorced since then. About 7 years. And now I'm looking back at these relationships and where I was in life. And I just want to do right by God at this point. And I just want to do it the right way. But I would try it his way. I'm going to try it his way this time.
Okay. Mm. All right. Well, Mylan, Jill, who wants to start?
Well, Michelle, I can only imagine, you know, after losing your first husband that way, so tragically, you know, I mean, everyone who goes through divorce, the idea of going from a we to back to just a me is a really hard place to be. And I think just as it takes a while to feel married when you first get married, it takes a while to accept your forced upon singleness. So often people jump into things because it's like, oh, then I won't be alone. So I think, first of all, I would just like to, you know, suggest that you do the work in between considering. And that journey of looking at is remarriage okay for me? I think everyone has to kind of embark on that, seek the Lord on that, review the scriptures on that, and come to a place where they have worked it through enough to say, okay, I'm ready to move forward.
Well, I guess that's my question. Is it even right? I know that you can't answer for me, and I have to find that myself, but I'm so conflicted. And as far as not being alone, I have to kind of go back in the history here. I've only been married like 2.5 years of the 50 years I've been on this earth. I primarily have lived a single life because it's been easier for me after that. I've obviously not married people that were right for me. I've always kind of viewed marriage as being more difficult than it is to be single, which is really kind of sad. And I've reached an age where I'm reevaluating, you know, I may have missed some things that God intended for me to have on this earth, like the joy of partnership with someone.
Well, you know,
in
Michelle,
that relationship, I was...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you hit upon something that's very important, because two people coordinating and living a life together is difficult. And you put together two, because what a marriage is two colliding histories. And you don't just marry the current individual that you see and potentially like, but you're marrying their entire history. And whoever marries Michelle is marrying 50 years of Michelle, because you're the sum total of your 50 years. The joys, the pleasures, the bright spots, the dark spots, the pains, the traumas. And so I would say the most important thing you can do, Michelle, is do two things. Stop and ask yourself, what happened in the previous two relationships? Who were they? What was my choosing process? What inside of me perhaps didn't see things? What inside of me picked someone who I'd end up divorcing so quickly? And to stop and really look at yourself, what is the thing you're trying to fulfill? And then number two, that you really slow down the process when you do meet someone. And you would say, well, I'm going to date this person for 2 years, not have sex with them. And if they still love me in 2 years and we're growing together as friends, you got a really good running start there. So I just think it's a great call, Michelle, and I'm really happy that you called. But it's time to do work, because marriage is hard work, and it will require a lot of coordination together and a lot of great communication.
Sorry.
No, just it requires a lot of hard work.
It really does. And I think, Michelle, you brought up that you haven't been married that many years compared to your life. So what is that about for you? Mm-hmm. You seem to have really avoided intimacy in that way. And yet when you did launch into it, Mylan, as you were saying, and Michelle, you too, you picked people that really didn't have the capacity for it. And so what's going on in you? And perhaps you are picking people you thought were safe because there was a deficit in the intimacy. Right? So growing...
Well, I can play about that.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to, at this age, I've done some self-evaluation, and very clearly when I picked these people, I was not in a good headspace. I deal with codependency, and these people, I can tell you why. I'm just a different person now. I've matured spiritually along the way, thank God. But in those relationships, I was kind of in a lonely place and settled, and I was codependent. They needed me more than I needed them. And that is an emotional sort of disconnect that I could make, like I didn't need them. I'm here for them. And I know that's not healthy.
That makes a lot of sense, though. Yeah, you rescued them, and the need was all in them, right? So that protected you from feeling needy, right?
Well, and what would you two say about the question Michelle asked about, is it right? Because we get that question from time to time.
That's true. And what were the circumstances of the second divorce?
Oh, gosh. We,
was there infidelity?
It was a blended family, and we were on the same page. We went too fast. Which I identified that. Again, I was in a kind of a lonely place in life, and that's no way to meet someone that's, going to be a partner to you. His father abandoned him, and he was a really good father to his children and very involved, and that was enough for me. And so, but there wasn't time to build a foundation, and so there were so many things I would do differently. We were just pretty miserable in the end.
So you just divorced because you were unhappy, not because somebody went outside the marriage or one person
left? We divorced because he was not a believer. He wouldn't go to church with me. He wouldn't involve his children in church. He, in my opinion, was not, didn't have good biblical foundation in raising his children. And I didn't learn those things. I just seen a man that loved his kids, and I've never had that.
Well, Michelle, I want you to hold on. I want to ask one question before we go to the break. Are you saying that you're in a relationship now and trying to evaluate if you should move ahead in marriage?
No, absolutely no relationship at all. I don't want to get off to a rocky start. I want to have all the answers before I begin anything.
Oh, well, good luck with that. But we're going to help you get a few more of those answers after the break. But you're asking good questions. We're glad you called. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We're just wrapping this up with Michelle. And Mylon or Jill, I would love for either of you to give her one or two next steps.
Okay.
Oh, you sounded like you were going to say something, well, Jill, so I stopped talking.
No, it's okay. We were talking about something else a little bit more about...
Let me go back and try to address a question more squarely. You know, the Bible says there's certain conditions for marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And to clarify that, number one, if a spouse dies, then there is, of course, a right to remarry. But then we're told that we're only supposed to marry a believer. You know, we're not supposed to marry unbelievers. And Michelle is saying, well, this person was an unbeliever. And this is part of the reasons why there's an inherent weakness to the very beginning of the relationship. Number two, if a person commits adultery in the relationship, Jesus said you have the right to remarriage after that. But we're also in a place here where the world is a very muddy place and relationships are all over the place with respect to it's hard to find really clean stories, you know? And so I was telling Jill at the break, I go, a part of me inside wants to say, and this is purely my opinion, Michelle, that, you know, if a person repents and really works out the incorrect choices they made and then comes before God and said, look, I made a lot of mistakes. You know, can I have a new do-over here? And or could you send me somebody that, and could I have another chance? There could be room for that. I think that's happening all the time. I just don't know that we're acknowledging it.
Right, right. And I think that's fair. We do sin all the time.
Yeah.
And we do need to repent from that.
Yeah.
And so why... And again, this is total gray area. Why is this sin any different? And I find people like we could say, well, there was abandonment here, right? Because the abandonment by a non-believer because he was a non-believer and he didn't want to engage with you. Okay, you could make that case, but sometimes we kind of try to twist things to fit our scenario.
Right.
When really it takes a repentant heart and before the Lord and asking him.
Yeah.
Well, but I think those are good next steps.
One last thing, Becky. Jill, to your point, the Bible explicitly says that if we're married to an unbeliever, and the presumption of that passage is that I became a believer after I got married, and now I'm married to someone who is not a believer, the Bible tells me to allow them to be with me and to keep them because they're sanctified by association with me. If they choose to leave, let them go. And the brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. So that's another facet
to the discussion.
Right, and
if that's the case, if he chose to leave, then that
releases you. What I hear you saying is we need more work. Michelle, we just want to encourage you to, you know, maybe connect with a counselor. I'm going to send you a copy of Mylon's book, How We Love, and the workbook, because I think the more that you work on yourself, too, you'll have a better idea of how God is leading you in that and get some clarity.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that's helpful, and thanks both of you for that insight. We're going to talk to Beverly, who's calling us from Fort Worth, Texas, listens on KWRD, and we're glad you do. Hi, Beverly. How can we help you today?
Yes, I guess my question is kind of similar to the first caller. I'm kind of stuck. I tend to help everybody else, and I say that to myself, why come I don't feel like this toward me, or why I don't help me?
Mm.
And I always tend to help other people, but I just leave me out. And, but then I'm going to just say this, you know, growing up, was abandoned, and other things happened in my life. So I just tend to not, I guess I just tend to not even think I'm not as important as the other people that I help. Or try to be there for.
Well, Beverly, what specific question, how can we help you the best today?
Okay, well, my question is, why is it that I tend to leave me out and take care of other people?
Good question. All right, Mylon, let's start with you.
Well, you answered the question at the beginning of your discussion, Beverly, and I just want to highlight it. And Beverly, I'm so sorry that this is your story. I do love the fact that you are helping and loving other people. That's really a cool thing. But yet the Bible says we're also supposed to love ourselves and take care of ourselves, because our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and we're to embrace ourselves. But when we've had trauma and abandonment, we typically tend to be hypervigilant, and we're always looking out at other people. And because we've been hurt, we will help other people who hurt. But this was very much my story once upon a time, Beverly, because if you asked me what I needed or how I was, I had no idea. I did not know how to take care of me. So I had to slow down and take the time to begin to ask myself, what do I feel? What's going on inside of me? Why am I afraid to express myself or to be able to ask others for help? So I would say, if you got into a group, and we're going to go to a commercial in just a moment, but if you got in a group of grief recovery, a place where people could talk about losses, you'd find friendships and fellowship there, and you'd all of a sudden become more important.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible personal size, the one-year Life Recovery prayer devotional, the New Life journal, a New Life pen and highlighter, and a New Life zippered tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. And I just want to repeat what Terry just said. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000, and we'll be happy to help you with any problem. We're talking to Beverly right now, and I loved what you just said to her, Mylon, and would love to hear from you too, Jill.
Wanted to chime in regarding,
yeah,
I'm really glad, Beverly, with all that you've identified for yourself, because I think you're seeing what's true for you. And codependency is often when we put other people's needs first as an indirect way of eventually hoping something trickles back to us, but it's usually we don't feel worthy, right? And because of your abandonment and trauma, you're not feeling worthy. You're taking that on to mean that you are less than because these things happen to you. So I like the idea of the grief group, as well as I think our emotional freedom workshop
could be a
really good place for you to look at some things. And maybe our book Take Your Life Back would be
there
a good one, Beverly. But to start to see that, you know, you have value because God created you. He says you have value.
Right.
And who are we to say God is wrong? There are things that happen to us as a result of other people's sin. And unfortunately, a lot of us have to bear the burden of other people's sin. But that is not a direct reflection on us.
And one of the things that happens in group is that you feel that support, Beverly, and you disrupt the story that's in your head right now.
Right.
That
yes.
you are not worthy and you don't deserve good things in your life. And if you'll hold on, we'll get you connected with somebody who can find you a life recovery group in your area. But I love the idea of the Take Your Life Back book as well. We'll send that to you. And we're so glad you called. Here, someone else is in the studio, Larry Sonnenberg, president of New Life. How are you, Larry?
Doing great. Thanks, Becky.
What do you have to share with us today?
Well, I was hearing you guys early in the program talk about Every Man's Battle, and I was like, somebody had to hold me back. I had to come in here and talk and share and pipe in a little bit. So I'm going to do that now real quickly.
Great.
You mentioned it's starting this week, Friday, you guys. This is it, the day, the 8th. So there's plenty of time to sign up, and you can get there. You've shared all about that. Here's what somebody said from a recent workshop. It's crazy how much more life I have now. The hope I have is incredible. I came into this weekend feeling alone, knowing I wasn't the only person with my experience, but I never met anyone else who did. I met a guy this weekend who had a story similar to mine. I was able to share my story, which gave him further encouragement to share his as well. The freedom I feel speaking things in group that I've never spoken before, and being accepted in spite of them, makes me know that what the devil meant to harm, God will use for good.
Wow.
I know that I still have a long way to go, but I have hope that I haven't had in years. Thank you.
Wow.
Guys, there's stuff that you need to unload. I know there's a story in your heart that you think I'm going to my grave with because I don't want anybody to know this. And you get into group, and it's the safest place you can be. You can share that, and it will be a weight off your shoulders. And it's going to be freedom. You know, this guy says he had freedom because he spoke things he never spoke before. So come, don't miss the opportunity to change things. God's waiting for you. You know, you're waiting for him to take it away, but he's waiting for you to take that step. And your first step might be coming to Every Man's Battle.
And when he spoke truth to Larry, he was accepted.
Yes.
I love that point he made. You know, he was accepted by the people there because everybody in that group knows they're in the same place of working themselves out of a hole. So that's a very painful and has cost them a lot in their relationships.
Some guys will tell us that they come and they're just scared and they don't like it and it was painful. But then, you know, by the second day, they've had a couple of group experiences, and they're feeling hope and encouragement and a lightness in their step that they haven't had forever. So
I remember a caller we had quite a few years ago, and he had gone to Every Man's Battle, and he began to get this area of sexuality under control in his mind so that he was more in control of his mind than his mind was. You know? But he said, I'm looking back and I'm lamenting all the time I lost with my children.
Yeah.
And I'm grieving over the time I lost with my wife. And he says, it robbed me of relationship. Because a person's preoccupied all the time when your brain is running you versus you being in charge of your brain. So
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Larry.
So thanks.
Thanks, Larry.
Count on you guys. And ladies, call for your husband. Tell him you know he needs it. Let's get it started. Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you, Larry. And we're going to go to the calls now. We're going to talk to Lori Ann, who's calling us from Pennsylvania, listens on WBYN. Hi, Lori Ann. Thanks for holding. How can we help you today?
Yeah, you were talking about, I think you said health coaches, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of the show. And would a health coach be helpful? Because speaking for my son, he has had a drug addiction for close to 10 years now. Would that be something helpful with him? Or is that like a next step type thing after rehab? Or I'm not sure.
Well, that's a good question.
He seems like,
Well, I think Lorianne, in terms of perhaps learning what it means to be healthy in terms of your body and taking care of yourself. certainly, I think that could be helpful because so often people that do drugs, they are highly neglectful of their selves, yeah, their physical being, as well as their emotional being. So it could, you know, help in a lot of arenas. But also someone with addictions needs a sponsor, right?
Well, and so Lori Ann, you had said that he's not even working on his addiction right now. Is that correct?
He's actually in the hospital right now. Okay. He was in a place, it was like a type of a rehab / mental health care facility, and okay, they're closing, so he had to be placed somewhere, which wasn't the level of care that he needed, but they did their best. They had to place everybody. Well, in a week's time, he could have had both knees down amputated, but he had to get surgery done. Now he's in the hospital. It's been a month now. But I just see in his eyes, and I've seen this over the years, he just is hungry for somebody to talk to, and not just mom, me, because I'm like the main person. His dad is not in his life. I've tried to ask men from church. I don't know if, I'm grateful for the prayers and everything, but I'm not trying to put anything on them, but I think they need to get more involved with stuff like that. I think a lot of churches do. They're missing that.
Mentors for guys.
Yes. And I've said it for quite a few, you know, a couple of years. I mean, even when he was homeless, he would want to go to church. Melody didn't, you know, I had him on my porch and this and that. And I mean, I have to say the pastor is the only one that pretty much reached out, you know. But I'm rarely, I don't know what word to use, disappointed.
Well, you're overwhelmed, I can't think of Lori, and there's a,
I'm
it sounds like.
And they knew that I was trying to do this all on, I drove him to Virginia, New Life for Youth, like, he left there in 2 weeks, I did not pick him up. He liked it, and he said, Mom, I felt good in 2 weeks, I can leave. But no, you can't. Took him to Teen Challenge just to talk to somebody. I'm trying to do everything, and of course, he's a believer, he is a believer, and so am I. And so he constantly prays, talks to God, but I think he says, well, I'm a new person in Christ, Mom. I think he thinks it's just, God's just going to take it away. I said, God is your victory to my son Elijah, but you have to do the steps to teach you, to mature you, to help you. And he's just having a hard time. And I know, I feel like if he had somebody to help him, that's why I was saying like a health coach, I'm not sure which direction to go.
Well, we do have.
And how old did you say he was again?
26.
Oh, 26. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and like what Jill was saying about a sponsor, that definitely would be part of a recovery process. We also, you know, further on down the line, we have life recovery coaches, people that do that kind of work. But I think there are a few other steps before he gets to that kind of coaching. But Mylon, what are you thinking for this guy?
I think one of the things that you need to remind him, Lori Ann, is that the Bible says, look, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And that's true spiritually. But God doesn't erase your C drive. He doesn't erase your history. He doesn't erase your past. He doesn't erase your hurts, your addictions, your compulsions, your obsessions. On the other hand, in the scripture, we're told to grow out of those. And the Bible uses the word grow in 2 Peter 3 and Ephesians 4, it says grow up. Learn to grow in a way you haven't grown before. And I just think it's important that we understand we can't use these little pat answers to think then we're just okay, that God's going to just do something. I have to, and you know, you're right, Lori Ann, he has to do stuff to grow up. And one of those is to get into relationship with other people. And this may be the only way to get involved with people.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. If you're on hold, wait, and we will answer your call in the next show. But we are still taking calls, 1-800-229-3000. We're talking to Lori Ann right now, and I would love to hear. I'm sure you guys were talking about this at the break.
Right. So, Lori Ann, we're not sure of his level of functionality, But I tend to think that oftentimes, you know, we're often looking for what is the answer, and I think it's a multitude of answers, right? And that he really needs a team around him. And here you've got a 26-year-old son where his brain should be finally, you know, fully developed, and yet because of all of the addiction, he's really very delayed emotionally, right? Mm. So he's a teenager in a 26-year-old body.
Yeah.
Right. So there's right. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of, you know, so I think you have to look at the different areas of his life. It's great. I'm thrilled that he's a Christian and he wants to go to church, but he's got to face the reality of his addictions. Right. And so there needs to be an addiction component. And that's why I said a sponsor. He needs to get involved in program, and he may not. You know, he may be resistant to that, but that's a big piece that gets in the way of him growing up. And you've got to, you know, remember, he needs to remember that his brain will lie to him because the addiction hijacks it, and it'll make him think that he will die without it. But that isn't true, right? And so adding in these, you know, other supports, so the addiction piece and just the emotional, where he has emotional deficits, right? He needs the emotional support. So I think there's lots of places where you go for these different needs. Him taking the initiative to get involved in some kind of men's group at church, just so he can see what other healthy men do, right? So then, you know, if you've got a sponsor, you're dealing with the addiction, maybe you add in an addiction specialist, MD, to help walk through. You add in perhaps through social services. I've known people who are quite intelligent and educated, but needed help with basic living skills. Mm-hmm. And he's a 26-year-old adult. Maybe he needs something like that. So it's pulling in a lot of people around him.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Lorianne, I have one more question. You said dad is not involved or not around. Has your son been through any traumatic experiences that are either acute or chronic? And what's the nature of the loss of his dad? That's a multiple question there.
Well, we didn't stay together because his father, we weren't married. I'll just let you know that. But he went back to wanting to be a Jehovah's Witness, and I could not do that. And I said, we cannot, we're unequally yoked. We cannot be, you know, doing this. So we separated. I mean, we just went apart. Then he was not in his son's life for, until he was about 13. Hmm. But then, of course, my son didn't know his dad, so he was kind of shy and wasn't connecting with him. I told his father, don't put it on him, like, with time. You know, you be there. We're the adults. If he does, you know, if he's not going to call out to you or say anything, you know, try to be there for him because you're the adult. He's the child. I don't know if he knows. You know, he was mixed with his emotions. He
didn't
see his dad all those years.
Were there any other traumas that your son went through?
Yes. Just before I found out that he was kind of using, our family broke up. You know, like my sister did a horrible thing to my parents, and he found out about all this, and it just really hit him hard.
Mm-hmm.
So that took his cousins away. My sister, which was his aunt, and her husband, and his uncle, and just the big breakup thingy. It was right around that time.
Okay, so this is really also important because he really needs to process those losses.
Yeah.
He lost a dad. He lost cousins. He lost aunt and uncle. He lost grandparents, perhaps. And he needs to process the losses.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people just say stop the addiction, but they don't stop and ask,
we have to add something else in.
We add something else into it. We say, now, what drove you to the addiction? What pain were you trying to medicate? to make that that tremendous grief and sadness go away? What were you looking for? And so that's an important piece, Lorianne, that that needs to be added to this multiplicity of factors
so
that Jill was talking
about. Therapy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I'm thinking too, Lorianne, is I'm wondering what support do you have personally?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who is around you? Not just focused on your son. Not that that's not a, you know, good thing. I'm just saying it's very hard to carry this burden. And then I'm sure you have other things that you're dealing with. But I would encourage you to get involved with whether it would be a life recovery group on codependency or even going to Al-Anon. It's really important for you to understand that addictive cycle as well. And it could help you as you offer help to your son.
Well, and there are groups geared towards parents. Parents
yes,
who have
yeah.
kids that are addicted.
And,
right, absolutely.
And all these things that Lorianne, you shared with us about your son also affected you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And my other two sons, yeah.
Yes. And you need support also.
Well, Do you have support?
Well, I'll put it this way. God is my main support. I'm being honest. He kept me.
That's okay.
The only other supports I had, my mom, she was great. And because she's a believer, she's been praying and she listens and talks, but she's 91, but she's still. Mm. The other thing is I've had the support groups that I'm on Facebook. There's Christian, non-Christian, get good insight. We pray for each other. So there's some supports there. I'll have to say, you know, I was a lot disappointed with church. I mean, they knew the whole thing and I really didn't get a whole lot except my pastor, but shouldn't be on him. And I was I expressed that. I said, you know what, the thing, I'm not looking for the answer, Pastor, and I said to other people there, nobody has the answer. The only thing I'm trying to say is, where are the men in this church? Why can't somebody, my son went there homeless.
Right.
Now, like I said, he didn't care. He wanted to go, Mom, this is a good church.
Right, right.
Why can't some man here say, do you want to go shoot some hoops, Elijah? Like, get to know him. Talk to him. Mm. I'm not saying even bring up the drug addiction. Elijah was looking and hungry for relationship, and I'm telling you, he still wants the church. He loves the pastor, but he feels like, because of my drug addiction, are they just, like, looking at me a certain way?
Mm.
And I've expressed enough times in a humble way, tried to, that, you know what, we are the men in this church.
Right, and it's a heart.
Well, it is, but I think you have to get involved.
Can I just say one thing? And that wasn't the only thing I was looking at. I said, it has to be a team. It's family, church family, the things that he does, like you said, sponsor and all that.
Yeah.
All those things. I wasn't just pointing it at church, but I'm saying, where are the men in this church?
Right.
Go ahead.
I agree with you, Lorianne. I think we don't teach men to be men and to step up and to shepherd other men. That being said, you really do have to get involved so that people get to know you in order, I think, for people to want to invest.
We're glad you called today, Lorianne. We're sorry for the break, but we're praying for you and hope that something
Thanks
has helped
for listening.
You today.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.